used you and how you came to, about to play the piano.
Okay. I'll say first, thank you for your graciousness. This always, you always outdo yourself and making us feel welcome and treating us like a king. And I appreciate that. You don't get that everywhere you go, so I want to thank you for that. But I lost my eyesight at the age of 7. I told that this morning, eating pork and beans. I strained my eyes looking for the pork. But went to the school for the blind, left home in Lake Charles, Louisiana, went to Baton Rouge, the school for the blind. There, started learning all kinds of music. And God, the darkest hours of your life is when, if you look back, that's when God gave you some of your greatest riches. And so we learned, started early, real early, playing in the little, like a concert band, played trumpet and several different instruments, and then moved on to some stringed instruments, and then was singing in a secular band, chasing that career, and writing songs as a teenager. And then I got saved right after high school, and they wanted me to play for the youth choir, play the piano. I couldn't even play the piano, but that was the only choice they had. My wife said I couldn't even play. I said, thanks a lot. But anyway, you know how encouraging our wives are. And so that's how I started playing piano. I started playing to fill a void in the youth choir, amen. But God's been good. He let us record probably 20-something different projects so far. And they were LPs and 45s and long-playing albums, vinyl. And then I had one 8-track. Then it switched to cassettes, and now it's CDs. Anyway, I'll do this one about the storms. Sometimes we go through storms, and sometimes you'll find yourself in the midst of 3 or 4 storms hitting you one right at the same time. But if you go with God, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Instead of going down, he went up to higher ground. The ark landed on the mountains of Ararat, which means the exalted place. If you'll find God's grace in your storm, you'll find yourself in the exalted place.
So many times I have faced the storms of life, and my day turned to midnight, and I thought my ship was going down. The waves of destruction were all around. But when the water subsided and was gone, and I felt the warmth of the sun, much to my amazement I found that my feet were planted on higher ground. You lifted me higher than I've ever been before. Though the lightning flashed and the flood waters roared, I won't question the reason for my storms anymore. 'Cause you lifted me higher than I've ever been before. So rest assured, he's got you in his view. Though the storms are tossing you, you can be so confident and secure when you know that Jesus is on board. So look to him, soon you'll see the sun again, and the waves will obey his command, and you will be so amazed that you will forever sing his praise. You lifted me higher than I've ever been before. Though the light flood waters roared. I won't question the reason for my storms anymore, 'cause you lifted me higher than I've ever been before. I won't question the reason for my storms anymore, 'cause you lifted me higher than I've ever been before.
I'll do a little sample or a little part of a couple of songs to talk about our trials. Trials come, can't understand, but they work together for our good. If we love the Lord, I don't like salt. I never have sat down and tried to eat a tablespoon of salt or a tablespoon of flour or a tablespoon of grease. But when you work all them together, I love Krispy Kreme donuts. Amen. And everything's working together to make you a blessing to somebody.
Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there about us, never molested, though in the wrong. But farther along, we'll know all about it. Understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine, 'cause we'll understand it all by and by. When see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion, and we'll understand it all by and by. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we gonna understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine, 'cause we'll understand it all by and by. Old Job was a righteous man, yet faced trials untold. He lost all his family, his flocks, his health, and his gold. Yet he said, I will trust him, my world has grown cold. Because when he tries me, I know I'll come forth as gold. And when he tries me, I'll come forth as gold. I've learned to rejoice in the midst of pain and sorrow untold. And when friends forsake me and fiery trials unfold, I count it all joy, 'cause when he has tried me, I'll come forth as gold. When trials come, we wonder if the Father really cares, 'cause we can't see his face, for the tears that flood. But when we examine all the blessings that are ours today, we realize trials work together for our good. Trials like these prepare us for the work that we must do. Trials like these, they bring us to our knees. And trials like these prepare us for the work that we must do. So lift your voice and thank him for trials like these. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear my burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus. Tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
I'll do one more, a little, not a real long song, but it's another one off my CD of the new classic hymns that I've changed just a little bit so you'd hear the words again. And I've got one other new CD. It's just a single. It's called Beware of Dogs. But I do a whole course at the end of on the CD. I've got a whole course of dogs barking. And it's all me. So I know you'll want to hear that talent. I didn't go to the barking revival. Wasn't there a revival, the laughing revival down in Pensacola? That they came out, one man said his kids went there and they came out twitching and barking like a dog. I didn't go there. Anyway, it's five different dogs that sneak into the church. One's a poodle dog with the hair all curly and kinky and a great big phony smile. But if you try to correct them, they'll scratch you and they'll bite. And if the word rubs them wrong, they'll start a big church fight. But anyway, I'll sing this one. There is a fountain written by a man who was so lived such a vile life that he had tried to commit suicide seven times. They had him committed to an insane asylum seven times. But one day he heard a preacher, I believe it was John, Whitfield. I'm not sure what his first name was. It'll hit my brain later. But he heard one of the great preachers preaching on the blood that'll wash away all your sins and all your wrong. He got saved and God transformed his life and made him a great hymn writer. Amen. That's what the grace of God can do for our lives. And he wrote this song, There Is a Fountain, one of my favorite songs.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. Sins away, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, and there may I go vile as he. Wash all my sins away.
Thank you, Brother LeBeau. Take your hymn book, if you would. Turn to hymn 520. I just keep trusting my Lord. Well, you've heard some wonderful singing. Let's stand up and sing this chorus out. I just keep trusting my Lord. Hymn 520, everyone. I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk alone. I just keep trusting my Lord. as our ushers come forward, start on the middle there singing, He's a faithful friend, such a faithful friend, I can count on Him to the very end. Though the storm clouds darken the sky, or the enemies fail, I just keep trusting my Lord, He will never fail.
Wonderful. Well, it's offering time. This is our opportunity to give as God has blessed, and boy, has God blessed. I'm telling you, far above what we should ever expect or what we should ever deserve. But God's been good to us, and we certainly want to give back to Him. And let's just pray that God will take our offering tonight and use it not only to propagate the gospel in our area but around the world. You know, the preacher said something, Brother Leslie said something this morning that's true. I hope you listen to it. You know, most of the world hundreds of years ago did more for the cause of Christ having less than what we're doing today having more. I mean, we've got so much at our fingertips. You can get on your computer, type here, and talk to somebody on the other side of the world that quick. They didn't have that opportunity. But I'm telling you, they turned the world upside down. You know what was said about the disciples? Said they filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. You know what we need to do? We need to fill the Dallas-Fort Worth area with our doctrine. You say, what doctrine? I'm not talking about Baptist doctrine. I'm talking about Bible doctrine. That's what we've got to do. We've got to get the word out. Let's bow our heads in prayer and ask God to meet with us again. Father, we come to You in Jesus' name tonight, thanking You for all that You've done throughout the day, for the people that have been saved and added to the church. We also pray, Father, that You'd bless now as we give. Thank You for having the Your blessings and goodness and how You bestowed that kindness upon the people of God that attend this church. And Lord, we pray for our special guest tonight that their heart would be filled and they would be encouraged from the preaching, the singing, the fellowship. And we'll certainly be careful to give all the glory and give all the praise to Jesus, for it's in His name we pray it. Amen.
Thank you, choir. 2 weeks from tonight will be our Christmas choir program, and it's always a blessing to prepare for that, and the folks seem to really enjoy it. So y'all plan on being here 2 weeks from tonight. Well, let's turn to hymn 38 and sing "The Sun's Coming Up in the Morning." Stand if you would. Then Brother LeBeau's going to come and sing another song or two for us. Hymn 38, singing, "Once again I face Satan this morning. But in my weakness, God sent reinforcements. And at sundown, I sang victory song. Singing, the sun's coming up in the morning. Seated as Brother LeBeau comes again.
All right, I'll do one more. The empty chair. Wrote this. There was a preacher. Conference over here at Fort Worth, I think, or in Dallas. But he kept talking about the empty chair, and he said it about 20 times. About the 19th point, my soul caught on fire. And I said, I'm going to try to write a song about that. So I permanently borrowed, I didn't steal any of them, but I permanently borrowed 4 of his points and sort of wove it into the story of a man, the empty chair.
There's an empty chair in a little church where we used to sit and hear the words of life. But he left it all to find fame and fortune. And he dreamed of seeing his name up in lights. Now his mama kneels and prays for him every night. And she hopes that someday soon her son will see the light. There's an empty chair in a tavern where he used to sit and play his songs. But he left it all when the Savior found him. Now there's rejoicing in heaven, 'cause he's coming home. He stopped by and put some money in an old payphone. He said, "Hey, Mom, it's your prodigal son. I've been gone too long. And there's an empty chair at the table where for 50 years he sat most every night. But he left it all for a city where there's no death nor pain, and Jesus is the light. Where the half has not been told and faith turns into sight. And he longs for his family to take their flight. There was an empty chair up in heaven where Jesus sat at his Father's right hand. But he left it all to go to Calvary and to give his life a ransom for every man. And he ascended up on high to his throne again, where he became the door so we could enter in. There's an empty chair up in heaven waiting just for you. You're invited to a wedding that's gonna be held soon. Though millions have made excuses why they cannot come, the question is, will you attend the wedding of God's Son? Have you made your preparations to go there? 'Cause waiting up in heaven just for you is an empty chair.
Amen. Wonderful song. 298 we'll sing as Brother LeBove gets ready to preach for us tonight. 298, stand one more time if you would. Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. Now I belong to Jesus. Singing,
Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
On the last singing, joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood he gave to redeem, and now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, singing not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Good singing tonight. Thank you and be seated.
Well, thank you, Brother LeBeau, for the music. But not only can Brother LeBeau sing, he can also preach. And he's been ministering and preaching to God's people and singing for 24-plus years now, traveling as an evangelist. You know, 7 years old, God took his eyesight, but he didn't use that as an excuse to stop serving God. Can I tell you, there's people that use less excuses to stop coming to church and stop serving God, but he didn't. He used it as a blessing from God and just said, Lord, okay, this is where I am right now. Use me. And God said, I believe I will. He's looking for people just like that. And you know what? This auditorium is filled with people just like that. And you've got some abilities that you can give to God, and I promise you, he can turn those into some miraculous things. It's been a wonderful day and opportunity to spend with Brother and Mrs. LeBeau. I always enjoy hearing Brother LeBeau sing, but I always enjoy hearing him preach. He preaches from the heart. And I'm going to ask him to come now and bring the evening message. And again, let me invite you, if you're off on Tuesday, he'll be preaching in our college chapel at Tuesday at 11 o'clock, if you can come and be a part of that. So, Brother LeBeau, welcome to Trinity Baptist Church. Well, there you are.
Snuck up on you.
Yeah, mate. Don't ever do that again.
There it is. My sound man was asleep. John 14:16. No, I better not be playing jokes on the sound man. He might cut me off. John 14:16. And it is good to be here with all of our friends. And hopefully we don't have any enemies here. Amen. Brother Bob has been a blessing over the years. And such a blessing. And Brother Todd there's a kindred spirit there with him and his family. And Brother Reed. And we just appreciate all of our kind friends here. John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That word comforter comes from a word parakletos, which means one called alongside of. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And then verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. That comes from a word which means orphans. Amen. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your mercy, your love, and for, Lord, this night people have come. And I'm sure, Father, with hungry hearts, and I pray you'd help us to step out of the way and let the Holy Spirit do the preaching tonight. And speak to the hearts of people. Say the words that human vocabulary cannot describe and cannot say. Paint a picture to our hearts. Revive us. Strengthen us. And Father, I pray that if there's one lost, you'd save them. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is preparing his disciples for his leaving, and they're sad, and he's trying to tell them, I'm about to leave, but I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you someone in my place, the Paracletus, which means one called alongside of. A friend of mine said he was out working in his field, and he hit his thumb. And his wife said, you need to go to the doctor. And he said, no, he's too proud. He toughed it out. A couple of weeks later, his thumb quit working. It just fell limp. He said, it's like a Baptist. It quit working. And he said, I went to the doctor, and he said, I cut the tendon in half. So they took a good, strong tendon from another part of his body and put it alongside of those two broken tendons, pulled them back together, and made him stronger with that other tendon. And he said, I'm going to call that my Paracletus tendon, one called alongside of. Amen? Give you another illustration. The old preachers used to say, in America, we have changed the word comforter to a blanket. But it actually means to put two steel rods in your back to strengthen you, amen, in your trial. And there's a friend of ours, his son over, he's a pastor over in Orlando, and his son, 16-year-old son, had cancer. And they didn't know it. The cancer was so huge, the tumor was so huge, it was breaking his ribs. And they went, and they finally figured out what it was.
and they cut that tumor out, or I think they shrunk it. They didn't cut him open because they knew it would grow. But they had to cut out several ribs, and finally he was 5'6", but because they'd cut out so many ribs, he was down to 5'1", and was shrinking. He couldn't stand up straight, and he said they put two steel rods in his back, about 50-something screws, 52 screws, and he said now he stands up strong and straight because those rods came along and strengthened him. Amen? That's what the Holy Spirit is. He is our comforter. He is our strength, and he's our strength and our comforter. He's called alongside of, and Jesus, I'll use the word proxy here since I'm outlining with peas. He's preparing his disciples. He tells them about the Paracletus, and he says, I'm gonna send you a proxy. You used to hear that word a lot. And what would happen when the man was overseas, maybe in war, and he couldn't get home to marry his bride, he'd have a proxy to stand in for him. I never liked the idea of that because I'd be afraid the proxy would kiss my bride. But they used to hear that word a lot, the proxy, one to stand in the place of. And every place that you find Jesus standing for his disciples, the Holy Spirit will stand for us. So I began to study the places Jesus stood for his disciples. He stood between them and the storm. Amen. One day Jesus told his disciples, go across to the other side. And we're going to go. They were going to cast out a legion of demons out of the maniac of Gadara. And when they were on their way, Jesus was asleep in the boat, and a storm so violent, a storm of defiance, a storm of opposition came and filled the boat up with water, and they thought, well, surely we're going to sink. And they woke him up, and he stood up, and he rebuked the storm. And we know it was not from God, because God does not rebuke himself. Amen. When God's about to do a great work in your life, you'll find a violent storm come, a storm of opposition. But he stood, and he rebuked that storm. A friend of mine in Phoenix started a church 17 years ago, and he said when they started building their first sanctuary, the church split in half, and just a violent split broke their hearts. And he said, but God stood with them. 17 years later, they support $130,000. They give $130,000 to missions every year. And when they started, the church grew. God stood with them, strengthened them. But when the church started their second sanctuary, 17 years later, another violent split. Amen. When you're about to go forward, the devil's going to try to send a storm in your life. Amen. But Jesus stood with his disciples. Sometimes you have to pray, and sometimes you have to fast. This kind can come out by nothing but by prayer and fasting. When there's a child in trouble, you fast and get a hold of God, and you'll find that God will stand, and he'll answer your prayers. Amen. He'll answer your prayers. And you'll find he stood between the storm and his disciples, and he stood between the battle and his disciples. You'll find that he'll stand between you and the battle. In the Old Testament, Joshua and Caleb were the only two men out of an entire generation of men. An entire generation of men, millions of men, only two men out of that entire generation said, we'll do the will of God. That's a sad testimony. The rest of them fell in the wilderness and died in the wilderness, and that speaks volumes to what will happen to us if we don't do the will of God. Amen. We're just going to waste our lives if we don't do his will. And you say, why do so many of these entertainers die young? Because a lot of them were saved and they were out of the will of God. They wasted their life and they didn't live long. Amen. The judgment of God. And you'll find in the Old Testament, Joshua and Caleb believed God. 10 spies came back and gave a negative report, said all we saw was giants, and we were in their sights as grasshoppers, and there was walls and giants and grasshoppers. And two men came back and said, we've got a God that's able to do it. If he can part the Red Sea, he can do this. He can take the giants, he can take the walls down. Amen. And 40 years later, man had to wait 40 years later to see his dream come true. In Joshua 5:13, I'll read it. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man. Notice there's a man standing, amen, over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said, art thou for us or for our adversary? And he said, nay, but as captain, of the host of the Lord am I now come. It was the Lord Jesus, because he bowed down and worshiped him. Amen. You don't worship an angel. It was the Lord Jesus. Had a sword in his hand. They've got documentaries now that say, that tell you how scientifically, they prove how scientifically those walls fell. And some songs would say Joshua made those walls fall. But no, it was all by faith. There was an invisible man there with a sword drawn. Amen. It was the Lord Jesus that knocked the walls down. And when Gideon, you go to another battle, Gideon, when he had 300 men in his army facing 125,000 in the Midianite army, he cried, "The sword of the Lord in Gideon." Amen. All he had was 300 men. He knew there was an invisible man with an invisible sword that was going to fight his battle. It wasn't Gideon. Gideon gave all the glory to God, the sword of the Lord. Amen. And the word of God is our sword. And I wouldn't trade my sword for a butter knife. Amen. I wouldn't trade my King James for a NIV or a ESV. Amen. Because that's like trading an AK-47 for a water pistol. Amen. It washes away all the doctrines, and it's just a bunch of garbage. Amen. We bought one and studied it just to see what it was, because people are promoting that Bible. It's a bunch of garbage. It waters down the Word of God. It's from the corrupt text. In the Old Testament, the only place where Satan is named, and Lucifer in Isaiah, it changes that. How art thou fallen, O morning star? Changes the word Lucifer to morning star. That's the name of Jesus. Amen. Guess who wrote that Bible? Moving right along. He'll stand between you and weariness. Amen. He'll stand between you and weariness. Matthew 11:22. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. There was an old preacher that said for years he dreaded preaching. He would go to his office and collapse with exhaustion. Amen? He would collapse with exhaustion when he got through preaching. He dreaded preaching because he just didn't have the energy to do it. And he hated and dreaded the next time he had to preach, till one day he got so weary he finally just said, "Holy Spirit, will you do the preaching today?" He yielded to the Holy Spirit, and when he did, he said he has enjoyed preaching from that day for the rest of his life. He enjoyed preaching because he learned how to let the Holy Spirit do the work. Amen? He's the one that does the work, and he'll stand between you and weariness. Let him do the work. He'll stand between you and friction. The Bible says he anointeth my head with oil. And I wondered for years why they anointed the lambs with oil. Why did they anoint the sheep with oil? Because they butted heads. Amen? They butted heads. We were in Virginia in a church one time, and this pastor took my wife and I out to his lambs, his sheep, and he said, "Call them." And I said everything I could. They wouldn't even turn their head. He said, "Call them, call, try to get them to come." And they would not hear my voice. And all he did was make one noise with his voice, and they all turned their heads and ran. But all of a sudden, right in front of us, there was two little bitty, innocent, beautiful little lambs. And within a flash, like lightning, they jumped up and started butting heads. He said, "Those are Baptist sheep." Amen. And there's friction. I was reading in Psalm 133. It says how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then it says that here's the secret. It is like the oil, the ointment, that precious ointment that ran down the beard of Aaron. Amen. And when we get that anointing, when we ask him to put that oil on us, he'll stand between friction, us and friction. There's everything, every piece of machinery on this earth has to be oiled with oil, or it'll burn up. A car engine will burn if it is not anointed with oil, if it's not filled with oil. Amen. It'll burn up. The other day we were in this condo down in Florida. The church where we were has some people from New England that couldn't sell their condo, so they came to the church and said, "Preacher, just let whoever your guests are stay here. We can't sell it. When we're not here, let them sell it. Stay there. It's bigger than our house." But we were staying there, and we opened the sliding glass door, and my wife said, "Close it. Don't leave it open because something might..." She hates lizards. Amen. And she said, "Close it." And all of a sudden, it would not close. We were pulling, yanking. It wouldn't close. And I started pulling on the handle, and it was just about to break. And I thought, oh, those people ain't going to be real happy if they come back in a broken handle on their sliding glass door. So I went, and I just leaned down to see if it was on track or feel if it was on track. It was on track. Everything was on track, but it was dry. And I said, I wish we had some kind of oil. Go look and see if there's any kind of oil. And she found some Pam of all that stuff you spray on your skillet and sprayed it. And within, immediately it closed. It worked. It was on track. It just needed a little oil. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is that one that'll stand between us and friction in the ministry and keep us from burning out. The Bible says the devil is in the business of wearing out the saints. Amen. That's what it says in Jeremiah. And how does he wear us out? Get us to try to do the work without the oil. Try to run your engine without the oil. Amen. He'll stand between you and friction. He'll stand between you and thirst. In John 7:37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood. Notice he's standing. And cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Are you thirsty? He'll stand between you and thirst. The world says if you're thirsty, get you some pain medicine. Amen. They had a special the other day on women's prisons. And these young, nice little girls got started on drugs, pain pills. Then they would grind them up. Then they'd smoke them. And then they'd have to have more and more. And then they'd begin to steal. And then they'd rob their own parents to get another pain pill. And the world says if you're thirsty, take a pain pill. Take some drugs. Amen. But it just leaves you thirsting for more and more till you have to rob. The world says if you're thirsty, drink a beer. Drink some more wine. Drink a couple of bottles of wine. Amen. And then before you know it, you're an alcoholic, a drunkard. The world says if you're thirsty, get another relationship and another and another and another and another. The woman at the well had 6 relationships, but she finally met the man with the water. Amen. The man that could quench her thirst, the Lord Jesus. She met the 7th man at the well, and she found some living water that satisfied her soul. Amen. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come unto me. I'll be your dearest friend. I'll give you some water that you'll never thirst again. Amen. I'll give you some water. Are you thirsty? He'll stand between you and thirst. He'll stand between you and loneliness. John on the Isle of Patmos was exiled, and they tried to drive him insane with loneliness, a desert island. And one day he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and he heard a familiar voice, and he felt a familiar touch. It was his friend, the Lord Jesus, came and stood between him and loneliness. Hudson Taylor was in China, and his children were in England. It's homeschool. There was no homeschool curriculum in that day. He was a missionary in China. And he said his wife died and several more children died. The only children that were left alive were in England. He was all alone in China. And he said, I was stricken with such loneliness that I would cry 2 words, I thirst. And within seconds, God would quench that loneliness. And he said, I'd pray that prayer 20 times a day. And he said, God would quench that loneliness in my heart. Till finally, he said, I was so at peace, I didn't know if my wife and children could be more at peace than I was, though they were in heaven and I on earth. Amen. God is able to quench that loneliness. If you've have lost a loved one, if you've lost a loved one, God is the only one that can feel that emptiness and that thirst in your life. And he'll stand between you and temptation. Hebrews 2:18, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He suffered every temptation known to man so that he could rescue us. I was reading the other day in verse 10, chapter 2, verse 10, the same chapter, it said he was made perfect by the things that he suffered. And I thought, well, he's already perfect. Why is that scripture saying that? And it was saying that he was perfected. His heart was perfected to know how we feel when we suffer. Amen. And you can write that down. If you're in the will of God, everything that you suffer is to perfect you so that you can rescue others. Amen. You can rescue others when you're suffering, and he's able to rescue those that are tempted out of all their temptation. He's able to stand between you and temptation. There's a thin line there between confidence and cockiness. Peter thought he was able in his own strength to stand between temptation. And Jesus said, Peter, watch and pray. He told him over and over, watch and pray, watch and pray, watch and pray. Oh, no. Peter said, I've got this one covered. But he did not know the temptation that was coming against him. He didn't know the forces of evil that he was about to face. He was no match for those forces. And Jesus is the only one that can stand between us and temptation. He'll stand between you and decision, direction. Psalm 23:3, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. When there's a decision to make, many times you can find it in the Bible, but sometimes you have to wrestle and ask God to lead you in things. Amen? He'll lead you. And the Bible says, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and He shall bring it to pass. Psalm 37. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and He shall bring it to pass. That means to roll your burdens over on Him, onto His train, and let Him pull that train. You can't pull it. Amen? There's one degree between boiling and not boiling. Just one degree. 211 versus 212. One degree, and that's the difference between you pulling the burden and Him pulling the burden. Amen? You think of the old steam engines. Once they got the steam boiling, the water boiling and the steam going, that steam engine could pull hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of tons. One boxcar weighs 100,000 pounds. It may be 100,000 tons, but I think it's 100,000 pounds. And why? That one degree difference. And you know what? You need to get those big boxcar letters going in your brain and write on those boxcars the side of those boxcars, write in big boxcar letters your burden. Put your children in there. Amen? Put your burden in there. And let Him pull it. He's the only one that can pull it. Amen. You can't pull it. You can't pull your burdens, but He can. He'll stand between you and direction. Give Him all the decisions, all the burdens, and watch Him take care of it. Amen. He's able. He's able to pull those heavy burdens that you cannot pull. And then last of all, He'll stand between you and death. Psalm 23:4, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. Amen. The shadow of a semi cannot run over you. The shadow of a bullet cannot kill you. The shadow of a snake cannot bite you. The shadow of a knife cannot stab you. And the shadow of death cannot harm you if you've been born again. Death is just a shadow. Stephen was being accused and they gnashed upon him with their teeth. And he looked up and he said, I see heaven open and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Jesus stood between Stephen and death and he never died. The Bible says he fell asleep, but he never died because that scene of heaven never closed. It just got brighter and brighter and brighter, and this old world got darker and darker and darker. Amen. He was singing, I'll fly away, swing wide the gates, I'm coming home. And he heard him singing, welcome home, my child, well done. And they had a heavenly jubilee. Amen. Why? Angels were taking him on. Angels were carrying him to his new home. He never died. Christians don't die. The body just falls asleep, but before this old body is even grown cold, I'll already be in heaven. They said that Moody, when his last day on earth, he told his friend, tomorrow the newspapers will say D.L. Moody is dead, but don't you believe it. I'll be alive. Amen. I'll be alive. There's a little girl laying in the hospital at the point of death, a little 8-year-old girl, and the pastor went down to pray with her. And he said the family was exhausted. They were out in the hallway. They were exhausted. They didn't go in. And so he prayed with the little girl, and he said he lifted his eyes, and there was two doctors in white coats, so he excused himself. And he said when he came out into the hall, he told the family, there's two doctors in there, so I just slipped out. And they said, Preacher, we've been standing here. Nobody went in that room. There's nobody in that room but her. And so they opened the door and looked in. There was nobody there, and the little girl had passed away. And he said, I realized then that was not doctors. It was angels carrying her, loading her into the chariot to take her home. Amen. She never died. She just went on to heaven. Amen. He'll stand between you and death. Do you know him today? Do you know him? Do you know this comforter? Do you know the Lord Jesus? He wants to stand between you and hell. He'll stand between you and hell and pay. He's already paid for your sins. If you'll accept the free gift of salvation tonight, he'll take you to heaven. And he'll do all these things for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love, your mercy. Pray you would strengthen us, comfort us, make us secure in who we are. And the sweet Holy Spirit, help us to know him and fellowship with him and know how dear a friend that we have. Help us not to grieve or quench him. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want our heads to remain bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. If you need to use the altar, you can come. But I wonder how many people can say tonight, Preacher, I know that I'm saved. I've been born again. No question about it. I've accepted Christ as Savior. Not ashamed of it. I want you to slip your hand way up high. So that's me. Not ashamed of it. I'm a child of God. Wonderful. All right, you can put your hands down. There might be one or two here tonight that maybe you had some doubt in your heart, and you'd say, Preacher, I can't honestly say that heaven's my home. Would you pray for me? I've struggled with this in my heart. Whatever your situation is, and whatever your God's been dealing with your heart about in that area, and you say, Preacher, I just got to be honest. If I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I need prayer. Would you pray with me that I'll get this settled in my heart? How many would say, Preacher, that's me? Just slip your hand up. Say, pray for me. Anybody like that? Just slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. All right. We got a few young people. All right. You can put your hands down. How many would say, Preacher, I'm already saved, never been baptized after I got saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Just slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. Already been saved, never been baptized. Pray for me. Just slip your hand up. Slip it up. Slip it up. All right. Then let me ask you one other thing. How many would say, Preacher, according to the message tonight, I have not been relying on the Holy Spirit to do his work in my life. I've been trying to do all this on my own. I've been trying to live the Christian life. I need to let the Holy Spirit of God do his work in my life like he desires. I'm going to say, Preacher, pray for me tonight that I'll yield to the Holy Spirit and let him do his work in my heart. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. Just slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. All right. Wonderful. All over the auditorium. Now, Father, we're going to just commend this invitation into your hands and ask you tonight to move. Oh, Spirit of God, would you move as the preacher has spoken tonight? We know that you're here to lead and guide in the way of all truth and bring all things to our remembrance. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to convict where conviction needs to take place. And these dear people that want to yield themselves to you and want to dedicate themselves to your leadership, may they flood the altars tonight now and make that vow and that commitment to let you have full control. And we'll certainly give all the glory to Jesus, for it's in his name we ask it. Now, with the heads bowed, eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask our instruments to begin to play. Brother Green's going to begin to sing. If you slipped your hand up and said, Preacher, hadn't been letting the Holy Spirit guide me and lead me, you need to make your way here. Make your way here. Recommit yourself to the Lord and let him guide you in all your decisions, in all the things in life that you have, decisions that you need to make. You need the Spirit of God to give you wisdom to make those decisions. You come. You come. We'll not be long. You come. You come.
Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you.
Sing it through again, Brother Green. If you don't have anybody come, we'll be done.
Lord Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now.
going to ask just the instruments to continue to play. Thank you, Brother Green. As the instruments continue to play, whatever your need is, we'll wait on you. You come. You come. Thank you, ladies and church. You can be seated. Thank you for your attention this evening. Thank you, Brother LeBeau, for the message, for the songs. I hope that you'll take advantage of the table here and pick up those some CDs, good music, and he didn't even begin to touch the hem of the garment and all the music that he's got available on CD. Church, let me read you a thank you card, if I could, please. It says,